Welcome to The Two-Man Game. I'm your host, Landon Holland, and with me, as always, my co-host, Xavier Rocha. What's up, Roach?
What's up, Dando? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's playoff basketball, so can't be better than this.
Heck yeah.
First round starts today, and I think we might as well jump right into it with our first round preview, and I think we'll do our predictions today on each first round matchup, and we'll see what we think and the similarities we have between our picks and these first round matchups. Is there any series that you want to start off with, or should we?
I was thinking we could just start in the East, work down like the 1-8 matchup, all the way to the 4-5, and then do the West the same.
Sounds perfect. All right, so get us started with the Miami-Atlanta series.
Well, a quick recap of like the Cavs-Hawks game. Both guards were kind of the driving force in those offenses last night, and Trae Young kind of prevailed. He struggled in that first half, but then really turned it up and showed you how dynamic of a playmaker and scorer he can be, and just was kind of picking on the 3 7-footers for the Cavs all night by getting the switch on the pick and roll. And that's kind of been Trae Young's game, is to kind of take over and kind of get the mismatch he likes and just put up buckets, and that's what he really did last night. So I really liked how Trae Young played last night, and he kind of showed that he was the best player on the floor.
Yeah, that was a super good game for the 8-9 matchup in the East, and the Cavs came out ready to play. They were hitting shots early in the first half, and I think it really just came down to Trae Young outplayed Darius Garland down the stretch, and I think a lot of people expected that just because Trae is a more experienced player and has played in big games before, and that was really Garland's like first big game of his career, like a playoff scenario. And then obviously, like, if Garland's not like running that offense super well, it's kind of hard for the Cavs to score down the stretch because, I mean, they have LeVert, but they don't have many playmakers other than Garland and then Rondo off the bench, who really struggled in that game last night. But yeah, the Cavs fans should be super stoked for next season. Obviously, this game is a tough loss, but for that first half, they just showed how good they can be next season with when they're defending at a high level and hitting shots. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was also crazy to see the Hawks just kind of pull out that win with Clint Capella going out for the end of the first half, too.
Yeah, I think they definitely, he's like probably their second best player, but I think Onyeka Okongwu was a really good like backup center, and he played really well in the second half. So credit to him, too.
For sure, for sure. One major question I have in this series is, can the Heat kind of get consistent scoring from their big-name stars like Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler? Butler's definitely struggled from the field as of late and hasn't been like the consistent superstar scorer that they need him to be. Tyler Hero's kind of taken on the main scoring role, even coming off the bench. And it's kind of been the go-to guy for them, like scoring wise down the stretch. And I just think that they need Jimmy Butler to kind of be that 1A guy that can go out there and drop 25 a night throughout the playoffs for them to be able to kind of win games, and definitely against the Hawks, because the Hawks can put up points in a variety of ways from Trae Young, and then also finding shooters like Bogdan Bogdanovic and Kevin Herter as well. So I think Jimmy Butler being consistent on the offensive end is going to be a key in this series.
Yeah, Jimmy's definitely struggled, especially the second half of the season, and not to mention like shooting horrible from anywhere past the mid-range. I know he's never been like a super good three-point shooter, but this year's been like extra bad for him. But I just like, I like Miami's depth against Atlanta, and I like Kyle Lowry in the series. I think he's going to do a great job on Trae Young, and I think that's a great matchup for Miami. And then also, having Bam Adebayo to guard that pick and roll against Trae Young, I think is going to be big when they're able to not only switch, but just the way Bam's able to guard that pick and roll as a five man. And I think the series can go probably six games is what I would think it will go. But I think Miami's defense will definitely help them win the series. But do you have a pick for this series?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Miami as well. Not to copy your pick, but I'm also going to go in six. Yeah, like, to your point, their defensive versatility to kind of just switch one through five on like, everybody is going to be huge for them in this series. With having multiple defenders that can go and guard Trae Young is going to be a tough look for him. I do think he's still going to get his buckets and be one of the best players on the floor, despite all the different defensive looks that he can give him. But I do think that's going to cause a problem for the Hawks, just Miami's defensive versatility and how they can match up one through five. So,
yeah, and one thing I'm looking forward to seeing in the series is, I know a lot of people don't think Victor Oladipo is going to be in the playoff rotation, but like after that 41-point game, the last game of the season, and just like the talent that everybody knows that he has from the past, I'm interested to see if Spoelstra is going to, like, what role he's going to give Oladipo, if he's going to play at all, or what role he will play if he does play. Do you think Oladipo will get some minutes in the series?
I mean, I see it maybe like if they're struggling offensively and need kind of like a bucket getter, maybe just see if VO can go out there and get something going if you're struggling that severely. But, I mean, he has struggled since his return, other than really that 41-point game. So, I mean, it kind of just depends like what they're needing out there, because VO's also a pretty good defender and isn't going to be a slouch out there defensively. So it kind of just, I think if they need some offense and just need to kind of switch it up, I think we could see VO thrown out there just to see what he can give them.
Yeah, I definitely think if Miami makes a deep run in the playoffs that we'll see a game or two from him that might change the way a game turns out. So we'll see how Spoelstra uses that bench depth that they have, or if he'll keep that, if he'll keep like eight or nine guys, because I know Oladipo this year has been like the ninth or tenth guy. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a fun series, regardless of.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it's, for the Hawks, it's definitely tough losing Capella in this series, just because him as a lob threat on the roll is going to be definitely missed. But, and I mean, his defensive ability in the paint as well is also going to be missed. But I feel like Okongwu is going to be fun to watch going up against Bam. And yeah, so that would be good to see.
Yeah, we might.
And his first like major minutes in the playoffs as well. So
yeah, we might be seeing like the first like major minutes from like the future of what this Hawks team is going to look like. Because I mean, I don't know how much longer Capella is going to be able to like be the starting center on this team. And obviously, they drafted Kongwu as like a super high lottery pick. So I think they do believe in this kid, and he's shown to have super, super good defensive versatility and ability on that side of the ball. And he's also a pretty good lob catcher, which Trey needs alongside him for what he likes to do with throwing lobs. But I think the play-in really ended up giving us like the best 7 and 8 seeds. So I think all these 1-8 and 2-7 series should be like quality games. I mean, I think we're going to pick the 1 and 2 seeds in each series, but I don't think like they're just going to be blowout games like they have been a lot in the past. So that's something to look forward to with these series. I mean,
yeah, because each of the two set, like 2 or 7, 8 seeds in both conferences have those bucket getters that can go get you games. So it's definitely going to be fun to see.
Yeah, and teams like New Orleans and Minnesota and Atlanta, obviously, like, they didn't start the year off strong, especially Atlanta and New Orleans, but they've been playing really good basketball since, like, down the stretch of the season. So, I mean, I think both teams have a chance to get a couple games off the one seeds. And then, obviously, Brooklyn, injuries all year, and they're probably the scariest 7 seed we've seen maybe in the history of the playoffs. So
definitely. Do you want to give your take on this first? Yeah, you can give your take on the Nets Celtics.
Okay, we'll go to that one. Okay. I mean, I'll just start off with my pick. I have Boston in 7 in the series, and I think this is going to be the best first round series that we get. I think a lot of people will agree with me on that one. Obviously, we have just insane talent in this series. We have Kyrie, Kevin Durant, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I mean, just stars all around the series. And scorers all over in Boston, and I think that home crowd's really bad against Kevin Durant in a game 7. But I think run for the Celtics if they can manage to get past Brooklyn in the first round. I do think Robert Williams' injury is going to hurt them, but I think they'll be able to get past that, especially since Brooklyn doesn't have like a super scary interior force. Like Kyrie and Kevin Durant aren't, like, they're not just slashers and they're not just going to go to the rim every possession. So I think that helps Boston out with that injury loss. And then I really like Marcus Smart against Kyrie. I know that Kyrie's had success against Smart in his career, but I think Smart will be able to slow Kyrie down and hopefully over the course of a 7-game series wear Kyrie out a little bit. And then obviously you can't do much about Kevin Durant, but I think Tatum and Brown will both be able to like hold their own against Durant. And I mean, I think Boston should go the route of like let those guys beat you and don't like give wide open buckets to like their other guys, like you saw in the Cavs game, Bruce Brown just getting wide open layups and like Claxton getting wide open lobs. I think you gotta let KD and Kyrie beat you sometimes, and that's the route I think Udoka should take. But I think we're just gonna get like a historic first round series with this 2-7 matchup, and I think fans should be stoked about this one.
Yeah, this is definitely a top 2 series in all the playoffs for me, in the first round. I think we're gonna definitely get a few 50 balls maybe from Tatum and Durant and Kyrie. They're going to put on a show offensively, but ultimately my pick's going to be the Nets in 7. I do think that the loss of Robert Williams is going to be pretty tough for them, just because I do think that the Nets are like a top 5 team in like 2-pointers made in the league. So I think his defensive like versatility to be able to switch off of the pick and roll, which the Nets really took advantage of in their play-in game against the Cavs, I could see them trying to utilize Bruce Brown in the same way in this series, just because Boston doesn't have that kind of person that can switch as well as Robert Williams can in those pick-and-roll situations. And I just think that the Nets have those, the two guys that can go out there and win you games down the stretch. And the Boston also does have Jason Tatum that can do that for them, but I do think that I just trust KD and Kyrie a little bit more than Tatum in that sense. And yeah, I just really don't like the Robert Williams loss for this. I think, I mean, Woj said that he could return possibly near the end of the series. So, I mean, it kind of just depends on where, like, how the series stands at that point, if he's going to make a true impact on them winning or not. But, yeah, I do think this will go seven, and I think it's going to be one of the most entertaining series in the first round for sure, just because of the star power that's in this series.
Yeah. You ready to move on, or do you have anything else to touch on that series?
I think I'm good.
Right. I guess we'll go to the 3-6 matchup in the East. We got Milwaukee and Chicago. And I think, personally, I think this is going to be probably the least competitive series in the first round. I've always been, I guess I'd say, an anti-Chicago person this year. I just haven't really believed in them all year, and I think they're going up against probably my favorite to win the championship this year in Milwaukee, and especially the way Chicago has been playing after the All-Star break. They've been really struggling, and I know a lot of it is because of injury and stuff, but also I just don't think they'll have the size and like the defensive versatility to match up with this Milwaukee team at all. I think Milwaukee's going to end up putting like at least 110 on them every single game, and then I don't have much to say about the series. I think it's going to be super, super competitive. I have Milwaukee sweeping Chicago, and
not the sweep. Wow.
Yeah, I think Vucevic is gonna get dominated a little bit. I mean, I think Chicago could definitely win a game though, especially with LaVine and DeRozan. Like, one of them can just have an insane night and outscore Milwaukee by themselves, but. Yeah, I just don't like, I don't like Chicago in the series. I don't like the matchup at all, especially with Milwaukee's size and with that, just Giannis. I don't think they're going to be able to slow him down at all. So, yeah, I have Milwaukee sweeping Chicago.
I don't give out sweeps. I always give the team one game, so I have the Bucks winning in five. I just don't think anyone on Chicago can guard Giannis one-on-one. And that's just going to be the biggest reason why Chicago loses. I do think that if Chicago is hitting their threes, they're going to be able to win a game or maybe two, just because the Bucks haven't been the best like in the league at guarding. They've been actually one of the worst at guarding the three-point shot. So if the Bulls can hit their threes, I do think they could definitely win a game. With the scoring ability of DeRozan and Zach LaVine, could definitely win a game or two. But yeah, I just think the dominance of Giannis down low, the Bulls just have no one to really contest that. And then also getting scoring efforts from Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton will also just add to that dominance from Giannis, and will just be too much for the Bulls to really compete with. I think that's going to be the main thing that derails the Bulls in this series.
Yeah, and I'm excited to watch a series in Chicago. Just, I mean, with my pick, they'll only get two games in Chicago, but I'm excited to watch another playoff basketball series in Chicago with those fans. It's been, I don't know, like 5 years since the Bulls last made the playoffs, and it should be fun to see United Center rocking again.
Yeah, and that's one reason why I do think they'll get a game, and I mean, maybe they don't, but I just think that the home crowd finally being back in the playoffs, I just think maybe they just get game three, or the crowd just propels them to not get swept at least. So,
yeah, I'm excited to watch that game three for sure. Hopefully, Chicago can make that a competitive game and get the series to 2-1, make things a little interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if they can take one in Milwaukee, that definitely, you look at the series a little different long term, but I just think that's virtually impossible for this Bulls team to do.
Yeah. But definitely a great season for this Bulls team, I think. I don't think many people expected them to, like, compete in the first round, especially if they got, like, one of the top teams in the East, but getting the sixth seed was a success for sure. And down the stretch, they were definitely getting, like, close to that play-in, so I'm happy for their fans that they got the sixth seed and they locked themselves into the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always good after a long playoff drought to finally get back in and just be in a playoff series. And, I mean, they have two pretty big stars on their team as well, so I mean, this is definitely a fun series for them, or year for them, and this should be a fun series no matter the outcome, just because the Bulls are back in the playoffs.
For sure. Alright, so the last series we have in the Eastern Conference is the 4-5 matchup. We got Toronto, the 5 seed, and Philly, the 4 seed. Last episode, I touched on this series for at the end of the episode just because I tweeted out about my pick, but I'll let you start off with this series since you already know my take, and then I'll touch on it after.
My pick is Philly in 7. I do think that it's going to be tough for Embiid and Harden to kind of get off, just because you did say that, like, Toronto's been one of the best teams at defending Embiid, if not the best. And then just the perimeter defense that Toronto poses is going to be tough for Harden to kind of find his way and get buckets as well. Just because, I mean, we haven't really seen him be able to beat anyone off the dribble consistently since he's gotten to Philly or at all this year. I don't know if that's, like, being out of shape or if he just isn't as quick as he used to be. But I do trust Embiid and Harden, that duo, to kind of show up in this playoff series and not be shut down too much to where they just lose this series. I just think they're too talented. Those two stars are too talented offensively to lose this series to Toronto, even though Toronto is a deep team and has great defensive versatility. And then one question mark I do have for Philly is just, how much will the loss of Thybulle in the Toronto games matter? Will they lose all three Toronto games and have to win all four in Philly just because they don't have that perimeter defender that, I mean, creates fast break opportunities for them by getting steals and deflections? I do think it's going to be tough for them to play defensively without him out there. But, I mean, that adds to their offensive ability. Not having him out there, they'll have more offensive options. So I do think they won't have a liability out there offensively, which could help them on that end. But we'll just have to see how much the Thybulle loss affects the Sixers.
Yeah, so I think Philly definitely, I think this is going to be a super competitive close series, but like I said in the last episode, I have Toronto in 6. I just think this Toronto defense and Nick Nurse, like, just out-coaching Doc Rivers, I think they're just going to cause so much havoc for the two stars in Philadelphia, and I think they're going to wear down those two guys when they're on the court, and then when they're not on the court, I think Philadelphia's depth is really just not there, and if Maxey and Harris are not, like, don't show up well in this series, I think that's definitely gonna make it almost, like, impossible for Philly to win this series. I think that's how, like, that's how tough I think it's gonna be for the two stars to, like, carry this team by themselves. I think that they're definitely going to need some help from, like, those third guys and, like, fourth guys on a team to help them get buckets. Also, I just think the series is going to be one of the most fun to watch when it comes to, like, the fan bases. These are two of my favorite fan bases to watch playoff series at, so I'm definitely looking forward to, like, back and forth, like, Philadelphia, then Toronto, and I think that we're just going to get a great product from this series.
This is definitely the best series in the first round, in my opinion. I don't know if you have that opinion as well.
You mean, like, entertainment or, like, competitiveness?
I think both. It's going to be the most entertaining series just because of the, like you said, the crowd, and then you also have Embiid and Harden versus that five lineup that Toronto throws out there. I just think that's going to be the best product of basketball in the first round.
Yeah. I think this, along with the Boston-Brooklyn series, are going to be the two best series. And then I'll throw in, for the most fun, I'll throw in the Memphis-Minnesota series too. I don't think that's going to be super competitive, but I think with those young teams and those fan bases, that's going to be another, like, box office series, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, I think I'm also just a lot higher on Toronto than, like, most people. I actually have in my picks, I mean, I'm giving everybody a sneak peek, but I have Toronto going to the Eastern Conference Finals this year, so I'm very high on this team.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people have been high on Toronto winning this series. I don't know about the next one versus the Nets
It'd be Miami.
Yeah, the Heat or the Hawks, but I do think they also do match up well against Miami, very well, actually.
Yeah.
And I mean, one more struggle that Philly's also just going to have is who's going to be able to guard Pascal Siakam. They're going to, like, have to throw Embiid on him, but then that kind of, you lose the paint presence of Embiid, and I think that'll be tough for them to kind of deal with, because Tobias Harris isn't guarding anyone, and I don't think you can throw Matisse Thybulle on Pascal. I think he'll just get bullied. So
yeah, and then also, like, Toronto just has so many, like, players that just go so hard and, like, are just going to be so annoying for Philly to deal with, because, like, you have Harden and Embiid, just, they're going to try to be dominant, but then they're going to have, like, Scottie Barnes running all over the court, like, just being a menace out there and just annoying the crap out of those guys. And I think there's just going to be so many entertaining factors in the series that we're going to, like, get to see today. I think they played today, right? Game one.
Yeah.
So.
Because the play-in. Do all the ones. The one seeds and the two seeds all play tomorrow? So is that right?
No. The Memphis, Minnesota's tonight.
Okay.
So we got Utah, Dallas, Memphis, Minnesota, Toronto, Philly, and then Denver, Golden State today. But, this series is just, I'm super intrigued to see. Also, just, like, the coaching matchup and how the coaches make adjustments from game to game, because I think Philadelphia is definitely going to have to make adjustments with the way Toronto is going to defend them. And I think if Toronto steals game one today, then there's gonna be some stress in that Philly fan base, and I think the media is going to get on them really quick if they even just lose today.
Yeah, I mean, James Harden is just going to have to show up I think it's more on James Harden playing super well, just because he hasn't been that guy this year, more than Tobias Harris and Maxey. I think James Harden's got to be that guy. And I do think he will be. That's why I'm picking Philly in seven. But yeah, if they lose today, I mean, the questions are going to start getting thrown up. Can Philly finish or beat this Toronto team? Is this Philly team good enough? Is James Harden going to actually re-sign this offseason? I mean, those questions are going to be floating everywhere. So I do think they need to win game one tonight to really to have a chance in this series, but I do think they will, and I trust Harden to play really well tonight.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be similar to the Minnesota Clippers game when, like, Kat just kind of got taken out of the game with the way the Clippers were guarding him. And I think, like D'Lo and Ant did, I think Harden and Maxey are going to have to play big roles in the series and, like, really score the ball at a high level. Because I know Harden, like, especially in his time in Philly this season, he's been a pass-first guy, and, like, he might need to turn back the clock and go to his, like, scoring title days when he's putting up, like, 35, and he needs to have some big games for this Philly team to win the series, for sure.
Yeah, and one more just question mark for both teams is, can they shoot the ball well enough to kind of win the series for themselves, just because I know Philly's kind of been streaky shooting, and so has Toronto. They haven't really been a really good three-point shooting team. I do think that's going to maybe cause some trouble for them. If they aren't shooting it well, Philly can kind of funnel it inside and kind of make them go at Embiid in the post. So I do think shooting kind of will play a super big factor for both teams' success, and if it kind of depends on which team's going to shoot the ball better, I think we'll win the series as well.
Yeah, Toronto's definitely not the greatest shooting team, but I think Van Vliet will hit some big shots, and hopefully Gary Trent can hit
his shots. I mean, Gary Trent's been the most streaky for, like, they're three-point shooters, air quotes.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's had a lot of games where he's shot and super good, but he's also had a lot of games where he's shot and very, very bad.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's just going to keep shooting. He's got a confident shot, and he'll put up, like, six to eight threes a game sometimes. So hopefully for Toronto fans, he has a good series and gives them some scoring option. Are you ready to move to the Western Conference?
Ready if you are.
Alright. We'll start off with the 1-8 series again. Give me your take on the Phoenix-New Orleans series.
I have Phoenix winning in 5. This is if Zion doesn't come back, but if he does, which could be a big storyline. I said this to you when the Paul George news was announced last night that he wasn't going to be playing. Like, could we see Zion return for this series just because he has been doing 5-on-5 work? Probably unlikely, but hey, maybe it could happen. I just think that McCollum and Brandon Ingram are going to be able to get this New Orleans team one game, and you're going to have one game where Valanciunas gets that super high rebound game and is just scoring down low pretty well. So that's why I have New Orleans winning one game, but I just think the Suns have been the best team in the league all year, and I don't think that's going to really stop in this series. And I do think they're just going to kind of wash New Orleans without their best player Zion Williamson playing. So yeah, I don't really have much else to say on this series. The Suns are just better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's picking New Orleans in this series, and I don't think Zion's coming back. I don't think that's very
possible. It's happening.
But I actually have Phoenix in 6 in this series, I think.
Oh.
I think New Orleans is... I think they're going to get a game in the first two games in Phoenix, I think.
Really?
They're just... Yeah, I think, like, the growth of their role players is going to be big time in the series. I think Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado. I mean,
Herb.
I'm big fans of those two guys, and I think throwing them on Book and CP3, and I think it's going to be...
I think the Suns have too many shooters around those two, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
You can't.
I think Phoenix wins, obviously, in 6, but...
You think they're going to go to 6 and they're going to win it in New Orleans?
Yeah, I think New Orleans is going to get 2 games here. I think Brandon Ingram is determined right now, and I think he showed that in the play-in tournament. I think McCollum is going to play at a high level. And then I just love the depth of this team, and I love the versatility that Willie Green has in Larry Nance Jr., Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Jose Alvarado, just this depth they have. And then I think Valanciunas is one of the most underrated players in the league. I think he can be a good matchup for Ayton, and I think that Ayton's going to have all he can deal with and down low. I think that's going to be a fun matchup to watch, but obviously I think Book and CP3 are going to be like the reason Phoenix obviously wins the series, but yeah, I like New Orleans to win a couple games here.
Well, heck, if Zion does return, I would see you picking them, New Orleans.
Nah, still got Phoenix in 7 if Zion returns. Nah, probably 6 still. I think Phoenix is just too good of a team to lose to New Orleans, but hey, we'll have to wait.
I just think the shooting of the Suns has been good all season, and they just have those defenders that can guard Ingram and McCollum out on the perimeter. So I just think it's going to be tough for those two to get off, but I do think they'll get one game.
Also, Phoenix is like the team in the league that allows like the most mid-range shots, like open mid-range shots, and I think
CJ and B.I. are killers.
Yeah, those are two of the best mid-range shooters, and I mean, it might be a good matchup for New Orleans, but yeah. I mean, Monty Williams is such a good coach that maybe they'll change the defense up in the series, but yeah, I had to give some love to the Pelicans. I think this team is
got you guys one of your guys, though.
I think they got something going in New Orleans, and I think next year this team might be pretty scary, so
yeah, I mean, I like
something.
I like Larry Nance a lot. He played super well last night. I think he had like a 14-14 game. And then, yeah, just Herb Jones also. He's just an amazing wing defender.
Herb Jones, man. Oh my gosh. He's so fun to watch. I love that guy. And then Trey Murphy. He's been playing some big minutes, so.
Hey, I picked him up in my fan. I thought he was going to have a bigger role this year.
Yeah, he should be pretty solid for them next year if he gets a bigger role. So, I really like their rookies this year. I think
I feel like Trey Murphy can be kind of like a Cam Johnson kind of player.
Yeah,
just fights on defense and is just wet.
And he's shown some athleticism. I know in the the San Antonio game, he like tried to dunk on somebody and then hung in the air for this layup. He's an athlete too, so I'm excited to watch him develop over the next few years.
Yeah, all right, so I mean, they definitely have a lot of fun young talent on that team, so definitely interesting team in the future.
All right, so let's move on to my most like entertaining series of this first round, just with I think the drama and the fan bases and the young talent. I think this series is just going to be, I think it's going to be comedy. I think we're going to get some great moments from the Memphis-Minnesota series, and I can't wait to watch this series for sure. Give me your pick and your takes on this series.
I got the Grizz in 6. I just think that the scoring trio that the Wolves have, we're going to be able to get them 2 games. And I don't see Cat getting shut down in this series. I do like Jaren Jackson's ability to defend, and I feel like he's going to be or have the Cat assignment. So that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. But I just think the chirpiness that Minnesota has. I mean, the Grizzlies also have that chirpiness, which is why this series is going to be so entertaining, because you're just going to see both teams trash-talking each other all game long. And I do like the Pat Bev Ja matchup. I do think they're going to throw Pat Bev on Ja and just let him try to hound Ja and try to get in his head. I don't know if that's going to work, but that's going to be super fun to watch as well. But yeah, I just like the Grizzlies' depth too much. I just think they're too deep, and they have great shooters. They're dogs defensively. And I just think Ja's going to have a heck of a playoff run here for the Grizzlies and really assert himself as one of the top three guards in this league throughout this playoff run. So, yeah, I like Memphis in this in six in this series.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to pick Memphis here. Again, I'm just so excited to watch these fan bases, too. I think both these teams have been waiting for, like, a young, exciting team, and both of these teams have it. I got Memphis in five, I think. They've just shown this year how consistent they have been and how many different ways they can win. Like, obviously, they showed that when Ja went down for a good, like, 20 to 25 games, and they won, like 90% of those games. It's just, I think Taylor Jenkins, like, deserves, he's my pick probably for Coach of the Year, just with the way that he took that team and how much they improved this year and how they did without their MVP candidate. But, for, like, matchups in this series, I think Kat's gonna have his hands full with the two bigs of Memphis. I think Steven Adams is somebody that no big really enjoys going against. Like, a lot of people in the NBA call him, like, the strongest guy in the league and one of the best rebounders. So I think Kat's going to have his hands full, like, on the glass. But also, if they throw Jaren on him, which I think they will, like, a good amount, I think Kat's going to also just have some issues scoring on Jaren, too, as I think Jaren's, like, a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. But, I mean, I don't think Kat's going to have games like he did against the Clippers, but I think he's definitely going to have his struggles in this series with those two guys. And then, to, like, change to Memphis's side, I think Pat Bev's going to be on Ja, which is going to be just such a fun matchup to watch. Just Pat Bev chirping at him the whole game. And I mean, I could see Pat Bev being in foul trouble from game one all the way to game five, just consistently every single game, just with the way he's going to play Ja. I think that's going to be a heck of a matchup. But I mean, I just think it'll come down to Memphis just is a lot better team with just better coaching and, I mean,
better role players around their stars.
The best player on the court this year by far.
Yeah.
And yeah, the depth in Memphis is just insane. And they've shown that with the injuries they've had and being to overcome those injuries. And then also Dylan Brooks matching up with Ant or D'Lo. I think that's going to help Memphis out a lot. And then hopefully we'll get to see Desmond Bane play at a high level, which he has been playing all year. But I just think Memphis is a lot better team.
That's one thing I like about Memphis a lot is that they have Bane and Dylan Brooks to guard. Like, they're good, like, guards or wings. And you don't really have to have, like, you can kind of hide Ja defensively. And they're going to be able to do that in this series by throwing him on Pat Bev and having Dylan Brooks and Bane be able to guard D'Lo and Anthony Edwards. But yeah.
Yeah,
fun series.
Hiding Ja is going to, like, allow him to leak out and, like, get the pace of the game going, like, at a higher level for Memphis, which they're so dangerous when Ja gets the ball and the defense isn't set. So, and I think it's going to be a real test for Karl Anthony Towns in the series to see how he can handle, like, Ja especially going downhill and how he's going to be able to defend that without fouling, because, I mean, I don't think it's, like, a mystery that Kat's not, like, a super great defender, but he's got to stay out of foul trouble and hold his own in this series, so.
Dude, they got JV, though. JV's going to have the paint locked down for Minnesota.
Jared Vanderbilt is quite the defender, but I don't know if he's a rim protector or anything.
These are two of the high shot blocking teams.
Minnesota. So it is too.
Yeah, he's about guarding Jaren Jackson Jr., so.
But yeah, but like Cat just doesn't have like the quickest. Hands
like he this young player rattled, get him an early tech, and then kind of like he did with Marcus Morris, he was like fighting with him,
yeah,
kind of get the double tech there and got Morris out of the game. So I mean, if you see that happen, I feel like that's how they get a game. And then I just think the three-headed scoring trio that Minnesota has is going to also get them another game. So that's why I just think they're going to get six, or this series will go six.
Yeah, the reason I have Minnesota winning a game is because of Anthony Edwards. That's pretty, like, strictly yeah. Anthony Edwards. I think he's just going to be special in one of these games. And
he just is, seems like a playoff performer. Like, he just shows up.
Yeah.
And, this, I mean, he said it before, like, I show up when the lights turn on.
Yeah, he just tweeted that after the Clipper playing game.
Oh.
Yeah, but,
heck of a piece, fun to watch.
This honestly, I mean, we got the Philly and Boston series, but this honestly might be the series I'm looking forward to the most. I think this is just going to be.
The trash talk's just going to be.
It's going to be
amazing.
The entertainment is going to be insane. I'm so excited for the series.
Definitely.
All right, so Golden State, Denver, you ready for that one?
Yeah, you can go first on this one.
All right. I'm going to go against your code of conduct and go with another sweep here. I got Golden State sweeping Denver.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Denver's going to have
Jokic just get swept.
Denver's going to have the best player on the floor and get swept, which I think is going to be probably the first time we'll ever say that. Maybe not. I don't know my basketball history well enough to say that. But I think Jokic is going to be incredible. I think he's going to put up insane numbers. And I think they're going to lose every single game. That's just how I look at this series. And I think Golden State's just going to score at ease against this Denver team. Especially with Curry back, and then I just think the depth of this Warriors team being able to throw out like two or three high level scorers at a time and just have super solid defenders on the court all the time. And then Denver, I mean, they have Jokic and they have some solid players, but I mean, I just can't really trust Denver to do much without Jokic, like, just having a historic game, which obviously he could do, but even if he does do that, I still think the Warriors could win that in, like, any given game. But, I mean, I don't have much to say on this series. I just really don't like Denver's chances to make this competitive. I think the Warriors are just going to score easily, and I think I mean, I think we're going to get some good basketball in this series. I don't think it's going to be, like, something that fans won't want to watch, because obviously the Warriors are a great team to watch, and then you got Jokic as one of the most fun players to watch, but I just don't think Denver's going to be able to get any games off of them.
Yeah, I have the Warriors in five, just because I don't hand out sweeps. I do think one matchup that I really do think is going to be super fun to watch is Draymond Green and Nikola Jokic. I just think Draymond's defensive ability and what he's going to do to try to shut down Jokic is going to be super fun to watch. And then, yeah, with Curry coming back, I feel like there's going to be a question mark, because, like, when he has returned from injuries, he hasn't played super well, like, in his returns right away, so I could see maybe the Nuggets playing really well in one of these first two games, and Curry maybe has a little slump of a game, and they're able to pull one out with Jokic playing, like you said, at a just crazy level, and then Aaron Gordon and Will Barton give him each 25 or something, or like 20 points to kind of help Jokic in one of these first two games if Curry's not playing super well. But yeah, I just think the Warriors have too much shot making, and just their system, and just how, like, how experienced they are in the playoffs is gonna be a huge factor in this as well. They're gonna know how to win this series against Denver and kind of play great defense against Jokic, since that's really the Nuggets' only like person they have to really worry about. Which, I mean, do they take the approach of shutting down Jokic, or do they let the others, like,
I don't think,
or do they
I
shut down the Jokic others and let Jokic that. Get his? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, like, it's like the approach, like, do you let KD and Kyrie go get theirs and, like, shut down everyone else? Or do you let them get their own?
I mean,
it's like,
I think it's
thing.
Different with Jokic, though. Because, like, Jokic is obviously, like, one of the best passers in the league, but he's also one of the best scorers in the league. So you can't really, like, pick and choose with that, because he does both of those things every game. Like, you shut him down, he's going to pick you apart. And if you don't let him pick you apart, he's going to score on you all the time. So, like, with KD and Kyrie, obviously they're, like, capable passers, but they're not like Jokic, and they're not, like, one of the best passers of all time. So, I mean, I think the Warriors just have to, like, find a game plan for him and, like, stick to it and live with the results of what Jokic does to them, because I think whatever, like, dominance that he shows in this series is not going to be enough. And I think, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see, like, if that dominance, like, takes these games and, like, if he'll be able to win some games for Denver. But I think Kerr probably is not, like, I don't think Kerr's too worried about losing the series, but definitely they have to prepare for Jokic. I guess I don't know how he's going to do that, but I don't think you can really prevent Jokic from both.
Yeah, just throw Draymond on him and let Draymond do what he does.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I mean, Jamal hasn't ruled out a return. Probably very unlikely, but Michael Malone said that it's not completely ruled out, so we'll see.
Hey, maybe we'll get some good Bones Highland games. We'll see.
We might
Streaky
get one.
Bones game.
I mean, if it's going to go five, like I'm saying, they're going to need one, so.
And then maybe Aaron Gordon has a good scoring night, but, I mean, it's going to come down to
Kevon
Jokic.
Looney starts, Jokic, right? Kevon Looney's like starts the games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Aaron Gordon could do something early.
Yeah. I mean, it's really going to come down to Jokic versus the Warriors.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, final series.
All right. I'll let you start with the Dallas-Utah series.
Well, obviously, the biggest question mark in this series is, when will Luka be back? Or, like, how soon can he get back, I guess? It's already confirmed that he will be out for game one. So, I mean, I just think Dallas doesn't have enough playmaking, and they don't like, or haven't played enough without Luka to kind of be able to win this first game against Utah. So they're going to definitely have to climb out of a hole. And this could, like, if Luka's not there, this is, I see the Jazz just sweeping the Mavericks just because Utah has the experience and they have Donovan Mitchell, who's going to show up and score very well for this Jazz team. And I don't see the Mavericks having enough playmaking and scoring to kind of be able to win the series or win a game. But I'm going to say Luka is coming back in game two or three, and I'm going to have the Mavs win in seven. I just think Luka is going to be the best player on the floor, and I like how the Mavericks have closed out this season, almost climbing to the three seed, and they've been playing super well. So if Luka's back, I just think they will find a way to pick on Gobert, and after the Mavericks win, Utah's going to blow up their roster. So I just like the Mavericks here with Luka returning in game two or three. So, yeah.
Yeah, so this is probably like the hardest series for me to pick just because of all the question marks around Luka, but
that's kind of why I gave two picks.
But yeah. I agree that I think Luka will return. I mean, I think game three is probably like the most likely. So if Dallas can get one of those first two games at home without Luka, that'd be super big for their chances. But I guess for me, before the Luka injury, I had Dallas in five. But with all those question marks around Luka, my opinion changed as much as picking Utah in seven. Now I'm settling for Utah in seven.
Wow.
Yeah. I just think, like, not knowing about Luka, or, like, even if he does return, like, is he going to look 100% out there, and is he going to be able to carry that offense, like, by himself? And, I mean, for Utah, like, you can't discredit the, like, how special Donovan Mitchell has been every single playoff series of his career. And I think he won't, like, come short of that this series either. And obviously, the reason they lose series often is because of the players around him. But, I mean, the question marks around Luka, and then just the level that Donovan can play at in playoff series, I think I gotta go with Utah in seven. And then hopefully we can get... Yeah, I mean, I've never been one to, like, dog on Rudy for, like, their defensive struggles in the playoffs. I think it more comes down to, like, their wing defenders, like Bogdanović and Ingles, and Conley hasn't been great. And obviously Mitchell's not, like, a super good defender. I think Rudy's gotten a lot of heat for, like, that he doesn't deserve, just because, like, it without Rudy, this defense would be, like, pretty much nothing. Like, he is their defense, and obviously he's not, like, the most versatile player in the league, but he's not like a player that once you get him on the perimeter, like, is just an automatic blow by and bucket. He's not, like, that bad of a perimeter defender. So, I mean, I think Rudy's going to be great in this series. I think it comes down to the defense of their wings and then their depth, and also just how they shoot the ball in crunch time, because a lot of times they'll, like, in series, they'll shoot the ball well, but then when the game gets tight and close, like, guys like Bogdanović and O'Neal and guys like that just aren't, like, the best shot makers in those situations sometimes. So, I mean, I don't know how excited I am to watch this series if Luka's, like, not playing. I mean,
I just think if he comes back, he's going to be 100%. Like, I don't think they're bringing him back if he's not going to be
okay. So
be himself. That's why I'm going with Dallas in seven, just because I think Luka is going to be Luka. Because I know one of your question marks was, will Luka be, like,
himself?
But I just think he doesn't get brought back if he can't be himself, so.
So, yeah, if he comes back and is 100%, then I think it'll come down to a Game 7 in Dallas, and obviously I pick Dallas.
That'll be a game. That'll be a game.
Yeah. I pick Dallas to win that game if Luka's 100%, but we'll see.
The thing with Gobert is I just like Dallas's ability to go small with Kleba at the five, and then Dorian, if they want to play Spencer at the three, and then Jaylen and Luka to close. I don't know if Gobert can play against that lineup just because they'll be able to stretch him. But I mean, we'll see.
This is definitely a series with like so many question marks around it, just with Luka and like the Jazz's ability to play in playoff series. Like, not a lot of people trust that, but I mean, I think Utah fans probably believe in their team, and I'm excited to watch this series unfold, but very, very unsure of how it's going to go, for sure.
Yeah. Still going to be a very fun series. I mean, we're both saying it goes seven, so game sevens are always the best, so.
All right, so to end this episode, give me your must-watch series? I know that you said Toronto-Philly. Is that your must-watch series?
I'd go Toronto-Philly just because I feel like the pressure, like I feel like the players with the most pressure on them are Embiid and Harden, 1 and 2, to kind of win a series and perform in the playoffs and just going against a scrappy Toronto team. I think it's going to be super fun to see just how they deal with the Toronto atmosphere when they're in Toronto and how they deal with all this pressure and like that the media is giving them. So I would say Toronto-Philly is my number one must watch. How about you?
Yeah, that's definitely up there for me, but I'm going to have to go with the Boston-Brooklyn series. Just the high-level players on both teams, and obviously two contenders in the first round is rare to see, and I think both of these teams can contend for a championship this year if things go right, so I got to go with the Boston-Brooklyn series.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't touch on in that series is news broke like 2 days ago or yesterday that Ben Simmons is aiming for potential Game 6 return.
Yes, we did.
We didn't touch on that possibility. How do you think that would change the series?
If Simmons comes back and they said like game five to seven, one of those.
Yeah,
in that range. I mean, obviously that's going to be huge for them on the defensive end of the court. Personally, I thought last year he was the defensive player of the year and the best defender in the league. And I think him matched up with Tatum could cause some serious issues for Boston. But I also just have no clue what role he's going to play. Like, other than, obviously, he's going to like guard the best wing on the other team. And he'll probably be the screener and sit in the dunker spot, but
he's gonna take that Bruce Brown role.
But like, and I'm super intrigued to see how he's gonna like use that role, because obviously in Philadelphia he was ball dominant a lot of the time, and I mean obviously in the playoffs he disappeared last year, but I think if he disappears this year it's gonna be like a lot. Like, people aren't going to be upset about it because he can disappear on the offensive end of the court, obviously, with KD and Kyrie. So, I mean, yeah, just throwing out one of the best defenders in the league is obviously going to be a huge impact, but like a game seven in Boston. Like I picked Boston at seven. I don't think Simmons is gonna like change my pick. Like if he's playing in game seven in Boston, I still think Boston, like with that home crowd, and I'm predicting Tatum to have like a great game seven, and maybe Brown too, and then maybe in game seven we'll see Robert Williams return too, which would be huge because he's also one of the best defenders we have in this league right now. But I don't know. I'm really excited to see Simmons on the court, but I'm kind of unsure how he'll like impact this team. Obviously, I think he'll help. I'm just not sure how much. What do you think?
I just think he becomes a better Bruce Brown, and I mean, maybe they play, and like in this series, they definitely could play Simmons at the five, just because Boston doesn't have that size to really like be able to like that 7-footer that can go at Ben Simmons if he does play the five. So I do think him at the five in a lineup of Kyrie, Seth, Bruce Brown, KD, and Ben Simmons, their ability to be able to get on transition, and Ben Simmons will be able to help that just because he is one of the best transition players in the league. So if they use him to kind of get out in transition, get rebounds, and push the ball, I do think that could be a big boost for them as well to try to get transition buckets. And yeah, I just like him in the pick and roll, on the short roll, getting the ball, making playmaking plays, or getting to the basket and finishing, depending on what the defense is giving him. And yeah, just putting him in the dunker spot to get easy buckets could be good for him as well, just to kind of get back in rhythm. One thing I do like is that there won't be too much pressure on him with KD and Kyrie. They're going to definitely take the scoring load away from him and just let Ben Simmons kind of be himself and be this playmaker first and defender first, which he couldn't totally be in Philly. Like, he was looked at as a guy that had to be that secondary scorer, which I don't think he is. So I feel like he can be himself on this Brooklyn team. But yeah, I don't think the outcome of the series changes for me either. I think it still goes seven, no matter when Ben returns. Ben returning definitely boosts the Nets' chances, in my opinion, to win. And I'm going to keep him in seven if he does return. Yeah, but yeah, I would be stoked if he returned.
Yeah. And like what I'm about to say, I'm not saying that Bruce Brown is better than Ben Simmons, but Bruce Brown has actually been like so good this year, and like in that playing game against Cleveland, he was obviously the third best player on that Brooklyn team that game, and he's just been so solid. He's like, he just doesn't make many mistakes, and obviously Simmons is a much better player than Bruce Brown, but taking Bruce Brown out of like the heavy minutes rotation, like obviously Simmons is better, but a lot of credit needs to be given to Bruce Brown because he's been absolutely incredible in that role this year for Brooklyn, and I think he's been super underrated for their recent success.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he's just filled the role that you would see Ben Simmons play, and he's just played it super well.
But yeah, Simmons takes that to another level. Especially over the last 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. Simmons will take that role to another level.
Just because Ben Simmons has the ability to guard 1 through 5 and switch anything.
Yeah, and he's 10 inches taller.
Yeah, so.
Which always helps. But, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, so many good series to open up these playoffs and to open up this Saturday. Yeah. So.
And I know that we'll get another episode out after the series is over, but we'll probably also get like a mid-series episode out to like cover what's happened already, maybe after like 3 or 4 games, because I mean, that should be like a week from now, right?
Yeah, and I mean, if you're right, if there are sweeps,
yeah, then we'll be able to cover
series some. Will be over. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, potential matchups, so.
Yeah. I mean, buckle your seatbelts, because this is going to be a fun ride, man.
Yeah, for sure. The next 2 months are going to be super fun with this playoff basketball, so
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, hope everybody enjoyed the episode. And respected our takes as much as I can, but...
I mean, I don't know if I respected your sweep takes, but, I mean, I'll give them to you. Because sweeps do happen. I just don't give teams a sweep just because you gotta be courteous of the
gotta respect the playoff team. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand, but, I mean, Chicago... But
they do happen, so...
I don't think Chicago's winning the game, but, yeah.
Poor Chicago, man. Well, yeah, I think that's all we have. Everyone have a good Easter weekend with your families. See you guys.